Okay, we're going to begin now with Ted Vav and Aleph of the new Perek. Perek Sheni, this continues what we had been discussing in the first Perek about how a single aid or aidim can validate the get. We had a simple case in the first Perek, which is an aid shows up and says, "Bufanai nechtav, ufanai nechtam." This Mishnah is going to go through numerous permutations or situations in which the validation of the get takes place in either partially or through other aidim. So maybe get from Medina Tayam. Someone brings a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Amar b'fanei nechtav, avalo b'fanei nechtam. He only makes one of the claims of b'fanei nechtav and not b'fanei nechtam. B'fanei nechtam, avalo b'fanei nechtav. He only says that b'fanei nechtam, that it was signed in front of me, but he doesn't say b'fanei nechtav. Now, an additional case. B'fanei nechtav kulo. I saw the whole thing written in front of me. U'fanei nechtam chetio. But I only saw one of the two signatures on the get. B'fanei nechtav chetio, or the other hand, I saw half of it written in front of me. U'b'fanei nechtam kulo. And in front of me, I saw both signatures being signed in front of me. So the Gemara will discuss, again, what happened to the other half of the signature. Do we have any testimony about it? What happened to the other half of the ksiva? So in all these instances, the Mishnah says it's patsul, because you're missing the framework which the Chachamim set up, which is that an aid comes and testifies, he must make that full statement, ufanai nechtav, ufanai nechtam. And if he's missing any of those parts, then it's not going to be kosher. Again, the Gemara today and on tomorrow's daf will discuss why that is, and if there are any exceptions to this. Echad omer b'fanai nechtav, ve'echad omer b'fanai nechtam. If one aid says that it was written in front of me, and then another aid comes and says in front of me it was signed, pasul. That is pasul, because again, the Chachamim required that a single aid make the statement of b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, in order to prevent that it's ati lechlufei b'shtari achrina, that it won't get confused with other shtarot. So only if he, the same aid that testifies about the chatima, about the signing, also testifies about the ktiva, will it not come to be mixed up with other shtarot. Otherwise, if we see a single aid testifying about the chatima, about the signatures here, we might come to say that you can do regular kiyum shtarot. Regular shtarot can be validated through a single aid, which is not the case. So therefore, it must be the single, one aid must say both parts of it. B'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam. So, pasul, shnai mumrim, two people say, b'faneinu nechtav, b'echad omer b'fanei nechtam. Two aidim come and say that it was written in front of us. Then one aid comes and says, b'fanei nechtam, that according to the Tanakhama, the Chachamim is pasul, and Rabbi Yehuda machshir. That will be the topic of tomorrow's daf, about why Rabbi Yehuda is machshir over here. Now, the last case is Echad omer b'fanei nechtav. One aid testifies about the ktiva. Ushnayim omrim b'faneinu nechtam. And two say that it was signed in front of us. That is kasher, because now you have a normal or regular validation of a get, the same way that you would validate any shtar. If you have two aidim testifying about the signatures, right, that is a kosher edus. And again, the Gemara tomorrow will discuss what's the chiddush with respect to that part of the Mishnah. Actually, 2 days stuff. Okay, now the Gemara says, Hatu lamali. Right, what do I need this Mishnah for? Hatana lechadazim. That we already had in the first Mishnah in the first parak, and maybe give midinat yam tzarach shomar. The Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the first parak, lays it out clearly that one aid must make the full statement of b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam. Why does our Mishnah have to come up with these permutations? It leaves out a piece, leaves out that part, two aidim, all of these permutations. The Mishnah is pretty clear in the first parak what the one aid must do. So where it says, if I just had the Mishnah in the first parak, havamina tzarach, that it's required to do. L'chatchilo, that's what we want the aid to do. V'lo amar, but if he didn't do it, kosher b'di'evet, and that get is still kosher. Kamash l'an, that even b'di'evet, it's not kosher when he does not make the full statement and do it in the proper process that Chazal laid out. Now, the next case, the Mishnah, b'fanei nechtav chetzio, u'fanei nechtam kulo, pasul. So in a case where it's written half in front of him, and it's fully signed in front of him, then he's pasul. Right? Mar says, hai het chetzio. Which part did he see being written? If he sees the first half of the get being written, we saw it together in Daf Hey, that if a person saw just the first line of the get being written, right, then he doesn't need to see any more. That's all he needs to do, lishma. So Rashi over here comments, what does it mean, the first line of the get? So Rashi says, Shita Rishona Shaba Shema Ish Vaisha Vazman. You know, it's the ikar part of the get, the man's name, the woman's name, and the zman. So Rashi lays out what exactly it is. Tosfos back on Daf Hamud Bet mentions that the shita achat just means that at the first line or any first part of it. I mean that the istama, Tosfos says, that on Hamud Bet, Tosfos makes this comment Perush Shalora Elashita Rishona Yelitza. The first line, the Nistama Sayomo Lishma. Doesn't say that there was anything important necessarily that was written, but because he started the Shema, there's an underlying assumption that he completed it Lishma. I'm not saying that necessarily he disagrees with Rashi about what's contained in the first line, but Rashi tells us over there does not define what the first line must be. Here Rashi clearly defines what the first line is because that's important. The Ish, the Isha, and the Zman. So if he's already got the important aspects of the get that he's done the Shema, then we assume the rest is done the Shema. Tosafot just says it's the first line, then that's enough to assume that it'll be completed Lishma. El Amar Rashi Chetzi Achron. Must be the case here that he only saw the second half of the get being written. Since he only saw the second half of the get being written, then we don't have this underlying assumption that everything was done Lishma. If that's the case, his testimony of Befanai Nechtav is not, quote-unquote, valid or not enough, and therefore his testimony of Befanai Nechtav Chetzio, Befanai Nechtav Kulo, will not be considered or not be enough. So now, the Gemara continues with the next case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Befanai Nechtav Kulo, Ufanai Nechtav Chetzio. So the opposite case. He saw the entire writing, but he only saw half of the signing. So that case is Pasul. Now, Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda comes and makes an independent statement. The Gemara will later come and push this back into the Mishnah. We'll see. There's a three-way machlokas, and after that three-way machlokas, the Gemara will come and try to read this back into the Mishnah. So Amar Rav Chisda, Va'afilu shnayim me'idim al chitimat yad sheni Pasul. Right? So in this case here, we have one aid who comes and says, V'fanei nechtav. And that same aid says about the first signature, Bifanai Nechtam. And then on the second signature, we have two Aidim who come and say, we know this second signature here, and it's a valid signature. So now, why does Rav Chisda say that? It's Posel. My time. What's the reason that Rav Chisda thinks that's Posel? O Kulo B'Kiyum HaGet? O Kulo B'Tachanat Chachamin. That you have to use, when you're trying to validate the Get, you have different methodologies for validating the Get. There's a Takanas Chachamim, which is a single aid can come along and say, B'fanei Nechtav, B'fanei Nechtam. There's another process, which is the normal Kiyum Shtarot, the normal way that you validate a get, that's two aidim testifying to the signature on a document. So over here, Rav Chisda believes you can't mix and match these two possibilities, or these two options. Either one aid comes and does the whole job, or you do regular Kiyum Shtarot, and those two aidim testify about both signatures. You can't mix and match them. Tosafos mentions that we had earlier in the first parak, he had an idea that why is B'fanei Nechtav, B'fanei Nechtam help? Why does that make it better? So Tosafos suggested in the first parak that when a person knows that he's going to have to relay information or make testimony or give testimony in front of other people, that he's going to have to present it either to a Beis Din or to other two people, then he's going to be more careful about what he sees. So also over here, if a person says, I'm going to be the sole aid on this document, I have to say, B'fanei Nechtav, B'fanei Nechtam, he's going to be very careful. But already, if he only says, B'fanei Nechtav, B'nechtam Chetzio, maybe he loses some of that impetus to be careful about the get, and therefore you can't mix and match these two processes. So now, Matkis La Rava, Rava challenges this position of Rav Chisda. He says, Mi'ike Mide, is it possible to have such a thing, the Yulamar Chad Kosher, that had one aid made the statement, it would have been good. B'hash, the Ike Trey Posel? And now you have two aidim saying it, and it's going to be puzzle. How could that be? Meaning that one aid could have done what? Could have done this whole testimony here, and it would have been sufficient. Now you add to a second aid, or you add two more aidim, and that makes it worse? That doesn't make any sense. Now this, Machlokas here in Rashi, tells us how to understand the question of Rova, and this goes back again to the first paragraph. In the first paragraph, Rashi says that when a single aid comes and testifies, B'fanei Nechtav, U'fanei Nechtam, he doesn't necessarily have to say, B'fanei Nechtam. If he says, Yodeani, if he says, Adeni, I know these signatures, that's sufficient. He doesn't necessarily have to say, U'fanei Nechtam. Rashi says those are interchangeable terms. If he uses Yodeani, which is the normal Kiyum Shtarot, where people say, I know the signatures, if a single aid says that, it works in the first paragraph. Tosafos says that's not the case. Tosafos believes that you can only say Yodeani or Yadinan when it's two aidim. Two aidim come along and testify by the signatures, they can use the term Yadinan, that we know these signatures. If a single aid comes and testifies by the signatures, he must say B'fanei Nechtam, and he cannot say Yodeani. That does not work for the single aid. That's not the Takanas Chachamim. So based on that, Rashi and Tosafos learned the question differently here. Rashi says, Mi'ika Midei, if there's a case, Yilamar Chad Kosher, if a single aid had said what? And if a single aid had said B'fanei Nechtav, and I know, and he says Yodeani, and I know the signatures over here. Single aid comes and says that would be Kashir. Now we have two aidim come. So what is it? The single aid says B'fanei Nechtav, then he says B'fanei Nechtav about one of the signatures, and then on the second signature, had the first aid, a single aid, just said, Yodani, I know the second signature would have been valid. Now all of a sudden, two aidim come and say, we know the signature, that's going to be invalid. That's the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns that if a single aid can say Yodani, then certainly two aidim can say Yadinan, that we know this signature, and that's the question of Rava. According to Tosfos, again, you can't say Yodani, because Yodani doesn't work for a single aid. That's it. Rather, the question, according to Tosfos, is that the question of Rava is that if you have one that is testifying, meaning that if he had come along and testified about this second Khatima, it wouldn't have gotten mixed up, meaning that we wouldn't worry about Atilech Lufei Bishtaros, had he said B'fanei Nechtam on that. So now all of a sudden two come and testify about the second signature, that's going to make it worse? That's going to make it so it's more likely we're going to confuse this with Kiyom Shtarot? No, that's the regular way that you're Mekayim Shtarot. This is not worse than a single aid saying B'fanei Nechtam. Right? If you have two Eidim testifying, because that's even better, that's what works in normal Kiyom Shtarot. The Rabbah says, that's the problem. Tosfos says, that's the problem according to Rabbah. El Amar Rabbah, so Rabbah says, what's the case in which we say that it doesn't work? He says, Hu ve'echad me'idim al chitimat yad sheni pasul. So in the case here, if one Eid comes along and says, b'fanei nechtam, that's the takanas kachamim, and that works. But now we have a case here where the Eid who came said, b'fanei nechtav, it was written in front of me, and then he also says, what? That the aid, on the first aid, he comes along and says, that b'fanei nechtam, and then on the second aid, he, with another party, a third party comes along with this first aid, and they testify to the second chatima, the second signature on the document. So my taima, what's the problem here? We're going to mix this up with Kiyum Shtarot Alma. What's the problem with Kiyum Shtarot Alma? The Kanofik Nochi Riva de Mamona Apun de Chad Mish Hasado. That one of the Eidim now is creating a possibility of collecting on three quarters of the document. So let's think about this. Rashi brings down a limud, which I don't know, it's not really found in the Gemara. Rashi says that there's a din, Rachmana Amar, the Torah says, Apish Naim Eidim. That any testimony has to happen by two Eidim. So the underlying assumption, and this is Rashi writes, is that the mashpa palga puma dehai, upalga puma dehai, that each aid must speak about half, meaning must testify about half of the document. Each one is responsible for either validating or creating testimony for half of the issue. So they together as partners will create the whole, each one 50%. In our instance over here, if you in a regular Kiyum Shtarot, if one aid comes along and testifies about the shtar, about one of the chatimot, and then for instance, that he signed it, he was the one who signed it, he's the first signature, and then he, along with another person, come and testify about the second signature, then this person actually is validating the get, three quarters of the get. He's validating the first signature, which is his, and he's also validating half of the second signature. So three quarters of the validation is being accomplished by a single aid, which is more than a single aid left to do. Single aid can only create 50%, and the other aid 50%. Here he's creating three quarters. Now, truthfully, by get, it's not really a problem. Because we know that even a single aid can validate the entire get, because we can say b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtam. So from a side of a get, there wouldn't be a problem. This should be fine. This get would be fine, even according to Rava. What's the problem with this get? Is that it's atei lechlufe. You might come to mix it up with regular shtarot. So that's what we're worried about here. Here in this case, the way Rava sets it up is, we have one aid saying b'fanei nechtam on the first signature, and then he, along with the second aid, says, we know the second signature. We're testifying about the second signature. So now this one aid again is creating three quarters of the collection. If he's creating three quarters of the get, and we're gonna mix this up in regular shtar and say that one aid can create three quarters of the testimony about it or validation of a regular shtar. So we say that get is invalid because it might come to get mixed up with regular shtarot. So now Matif Kla Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi challenges this chiddush of Rava. Mi'ika mide. Is there such a thing? Dilo mesik le'ihu l'kula dibura. Had this one aid said the entire thing, kasher, hashadika chad badei pasul, now we add another person to him, it detracts from it? Why should adding an additional aid make it worse? Right? We just said this before, that the get, if one aid came along and said, b'fanei nechtam, this one aid could create the validation of the entire get. So now we add on another aid who makes a quarter of the validation. That should make it worse. How could it make it worse? It should only be better that we have a second aid involved here. So then Rav Ashi says, what's the case? El Amar Rav Ashi, afilo omer anihu eid sheni pasul. That even if this person says, I am the second aid, he is pasul. Why? My time, okulu b'kiyum get, okulu b'takanat chachamim. Now what do we have here? This aid comes along and says, b'fanei nechtav, Then he testifies to the first signature and says, "Bifanei nechtam, it was signed in front of me." And then he says about the second signature, "That's my signature. The second signature is mine." So now, what's the problem with that? I mean, one aide can testify, "Bifanei nechtam, bifanei nechtam." So Rav Ashi says, well, you're mixing and matching types of validations. Right, you have one validation which is the Takana Chachamim, which says Ufanei Nechtav, Ufanei Nechtam. There's another type of validation which is regular Kiyum Shtarot that requires two Eidim to come and testify, or people to come and testify about their signatures. The two Eidim, the two signatories to the document, come and testify about their signatures, or independent Eidim come and testify about their signatures. So here you're mixing and matching. This aid says Ufanei Nechtav, and about the first signature he says Ufanei Nechtam, and then about the second signature he goes and uses regular validation of Shtarot, which is that he testifies it's my signature. So Rav Ashi says you can't do that. You can't mix and match the Kiyum Aget by the Takana Chachamim with the regular Kiyum Aget that's done through Kiyum Shtarot. Now the Gemara asks, it's not. Our Mishnah says Ufanei Nechtav Kulo, Ufanei Nechtam Chetzio Pasul. This is the case that our Gemara is dealing with. Now we're going back to the Mishnah. I told you we have three opinions. We have Rav Chisda, Rav, and Rav Ashi about a case. Now the Gemara asks about our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if it's written entirely in front of me, Ufanei Nechtam Chetzio, and only half of it was signed in front of me, Pasul. That case is Pasul. Idach Chetzio Hechidami. What happened to the second signature? Or the second signature? Do we have any testimony about the second signature, or nothing was said about the second signature? Elaim of the Gemara says, Aleka Kamasaita Le Klau. If we say that nobody's testifying about the second signature at all, Hashto Echad Omer Bifanei Nechtav, Vechad Omer Bifanei Nechtam, in a case where we had one witness testifying totally about the Ksiva, and another witness coming and testifying about the signatures, we said that was already Pasul in our Mishnah. Now you have to come, right, and say, right, and tell me about a case, right, where he testifies about the ksiva, but only half of the chasima, that's no good. When we had one aide testifying about the whole chasima was possible, what do you have to tell me about a case where he's only testifying about half the chasima? So let's read that inside. Right, so he says, Elim is like a kamasayda le klal, if we have, he's nobody testifying about the second signature at all, hashta echad omer fane nechtav, echad omer fane nechtav, tag masayda kule ksiva, kamasayda kule chasima, that each aide independently is one talking about all the ksiva, and the other aide is talking about totally about the chasima. We have one aide that testifies that all the signatures pasul. You have to ask me about a case where we have a witness testifying about half the signatures, and we don't have any witness about the second signatures. Of course, it's pasul. Ella must be that the case in our Mishnah is okid to Rava, okid to Ravashi. That the case in the Mishnah is either like Rava or Ravashi. The case of Rava, which is pasul. What's the case of Rava when it's pasul? Is that a case where the aide comes along and says b'fanei nechtav, and the first signature b'fanei nechtam, and on the second signature he brings in another party, and together they testify about the second signature. Or the case of Ravashi, which is the case here, will be that b'fanei nechtav, the aide comes along and says b'fanei nechtav, and then the second, and then he says b'fanei nechtam on the first signature, and the second signature he says is my signature. So in either of those cases, according to Rav or Ravashi, that case is possible, and that's what our Mishnah is talking about. When our Mishnah says chetzio, when the aide came and testified about the first signature, the second signature he also testified, according to Rava, either in the partnership with someone else, or according to Ravashi, by himself, he said, that is my signature. Ah, so what's the chiddush now? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah on this? That comes, l'afuke mi Rav Chisda, to exclude the case of Rav Chisda. What was the case of Rav Chisda? The case of Rav Chisda is we have two Eidim testifying about the second signature, and we have two Eidim testifying about the second signature. That is a good guess, according to Rav Ashi, and according to Rava. So the way Rashi explains our Gemara now, what is this? We have a Chiddush. The Mishnah wrote an extra case. This case wasn't necessary. We already know if someone testifies about all the signatures that they are, that's puzzle. And certainly if you only testify about half the signature, that's also a puzzle. So what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? You can only take, when you're looking at the Chiddush of the Mishnah, you have to take the least Chiddush. And the least Chiddush is either that the position of Rav Ashi or the position of Rava, as opposed to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is the biggest Chiddush, that even when two Eidim come along, it'll be puzzle. Rashi and Rava narrow that Kiddush to say, no, it's only when the Eid himself also testifies with a third party about the second signature, or in a case where the Eid himself says, I am the second signatory. So those are the lesser of the Chidushim, so that's lesser Kiddush. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. As opposed to Rav Chisda's case, where Rava and Ravashi, and our Mishnah, according to them, will say that it is kosher. Rashi does point out, why don't we say that Ravashi is the least of the Chidushim? Meaning that, why can't we just say Rav Ashi is the least Chiddush? That's what our Mishnah is talking about. It comes to exclude Rava and Rav Chisda. So Rashi says that Rava's case is no more a Chiddush than Rav Ashi's case. Because Rava's case, when you have one aide creating three quarters of the collection or three quarters of the validation, that is true in regular Kiyum Shtaros. That has application in regular Kiyum Shtaros. Since it has application in regular Kiyum Shtaros, and it's possible by regular Kiyum Shtaros, it's not a big stretch or not a big chiddush to say that it would also be possible by Gittin. And therefore, Rav Ashi and Rav are on equal footing when it comes to their chiddush. They have the least or the most narrow chiddush, and therefore they can both fit into the Mishnah. So now, the Gemara says, well, I'm going to call Rav Chista. How does he explain the Mishnah? Ula Tameich, according to your reasoning that our Mishnah is teaching us all these chidushim by adding on these extra cases, what are you going to say in the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, Befanei nechtav alo, befanei nechtam, lamali. The first case in the Mishnah, why do we need that at all? Where a person says, it was written in front of me, but it wasn't signed in front of me, what do I need? Why do I need that case already? I mean, it's clear that even when he testifies about half of the chasima that it's possible, why do you have to take me a case where he doesn't testify about the signatures at all that it's possible? That is very obvious that that case is going to be patsul. So, it must be that our Mishnah is talking about a case, and this is what Rav Chista says, right? Lamali, elolozu abzuktani. Our Mishnah follows a pattern of saying that even though the first cases are obvious, after you've read the second cases, the Mishnah is doing lozu. Not only is this patsul, but even the bigger chiddush is patsul. Not only is this patsul, but the additional case is patsul. So true, had you just written the last case, we would have known the first two cases. But the Mishnah is still building. It's in a process of building, showing you this is patsul. Not only is this patsul, but even this. And not only this, and even this. And that's how he's going to explain the Mishnah over here also. So you'll say, Lamali, Ela azu abzuktani, hachanami, lozu abzuktani. And even our case over here, the case of chetzio chatima, the case where it's only half, he's testifying b'fanai nechtav, and on the second half he's telling b'fanai nechtam. We're talking about a case where the second signature has no validation. You're going to say to me, that's obviously pasul. Now the Gemara is going to say, no, that's what Rav Chista says. You're right, it's obvious. I have to read the next case, it's obvious, but our Mishnah is written that way, of building the chidushim, and so it's lozu abzu kitani. Alright, now we're going to bring another member from Chista, nothing to do with Gittin, and the Gemara will continue into tomorrow also with these ideas that you have these chidushim about trying to use two different methodologies or two different halakhic frameworks to create a single entity. So in our case of here, Rav Chista spoke about this idea that you can't have Kiyum a get, you can't validate a get through the Takanas Chachamim and through Kiyum Shtarot. You have to do it one or the other. So the same type of case by Shabbos and Erevin, Rav Chista, Gidu Chamisha, Umichitza Chamisha, Ein Mistarfim. To make a Shusa Yachid, he needs to be 10 Tfachim high. So Rashi says the case over here is where he has a hole in the ground that's 5 Tfachim deep, and he has a wall, a Mechitza, that's 5 Tfachim high. They are not Mitzaris, Aje Okula Mechitza, Okula Begidud. You can only create a Shusa Yachid either when the Mechitza itself is 10 Tfachim high, or the hole into the ground, or the ditch, is 10 Tfachim deep. You can't be mix and match two halachic walls. You can't create a halachic wall of Mechitza to a halachic wall of Gidud or something that's going or dug into the ground. Now it also asks on Rav Chista, there's a Mishnah, right, in the Gemara and Shabbos talks about bor v'chuliyato, right, mitzarfim. If you have a bor, a pit that's dug out, and you put the dirt around the bor, right, around that pit, then they are mitzarf. They join together to create a single mechitza. So you see that the Mishnah, it's an explicit Mishnah, Akron Rav Chista argues an explicit Mishnah that says that you are mitzarf, the dirt on top to the hole to the bor itself. So it also says that the case over here, he gives two possibilities of what the case is over here. There's a case in Erevin that he says, even though you have a mix and match of 10 tefachim, if you're standing in the position where it's not obvious to you that you can see the 10 tefachim, for instance, you have two fields next to each other, and one field is 5 tefachim higher than the other field, and that higher field also has a mechitz at the end of it that's 5 tefachim tall. So from the bottom field, you're looking at a wall that's 10 tefachim high. But from the upper field, all you can see is the 5 tefachim high. You can only see that wall is 5 tefachim high. You cannot see the ditch that's 10, that the other 5 tefachim down. So for the lower field, it will be considered a mechitza, whereas for the upper field, it will not be considered a mechitza. And that's the case over here. Talking about that upper field, looking at the mechitza, it can't be mitzar of the gidut. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that you have a pile up in Rishus HaRabim. You have a mountain of some sort in Rishus HaRabim that's 5 tefachim high, and then you place a mechitza of 5 tefachim high on top of that. So the problem with that is when you're standing inside that mound in the Rishus HaRabim, you only have mechitzas of 5 tefachim that are surrounding you. True that there's another 5 tefachim down to the Rishus HaRabim, but when you're inside or in the side there, it doesn't look like that. It's not obvious that is a Rishus HaYachid. So that's how Tosfos explains or differentiates Rav Chista from the Mishnah in Shabbos. Now the Gemara says about this statement, that actually they could be mitzarif. When you mix gidud and mechitza, they can be mitzarif to make up 10 tefachim. And the hilchatzah, the halach is that you can mix and match types of mechitzos, that even a mechitza together with a gidud, right, with something that is built up or dug down, can be mitzarif to create a mechitza. Okay, we'll stop here because the next case runs into tomorrow's daf, and we'll start there tomorrow.